Ezra and Nehemiah, fantastic. You'll enjoy them. Our nation and our freedom. Something you should protect at all costs. That is to say, this nation and the freedoms entailed therein give us the privilege to serve under the Constitution, which was taken from God's Word, that promises us freedom of religion. Not religion in the sense that it is a display of men's traditions, but free to truly make your own choice. Free that each of you that travels here today from within the continental states and our wonderful neighbors didn't need a passport. Just could get right on across, didn't have to ask anyone. You're kind of your own boss on your travels and so forth. Hey, that all cost something. It really did. And it is so easy for us to take those things for granted, but I guarantee you, I know firsthand, in the past history, the cost at times has been awesome. You wouldn't believe, many of you that have never been experienced with combat would not believe. But those men usually paid that price willingly and graciously, knowing what the outcome thereof would be, that we would have this nation. Many people look down upon the Vietnam and the Korean Wars. I tell you, they were great wars because they broke the back of communism. And each member that served has nothing to apologize for. We have at this time also, coming back into Congress, I'll just stick on government for a minute or two here, and then we'll get into the scriptures and get something done. But burning our flag, you know, they're kind of, is it legal to burn the flag? Well, the Supreme Court ruled it was, and then the House of Representatives struck it down, and I understand it's back in the Senate. And I'll never forget something that happened down at Dallas. This wimpish-looking little punk, if you'll excuse that expression, came up to this great Dallas policeman and said, "Sir, that man over there," and here's a veteran standing there in fatigues, you know, arms crossed, looking very confident. "But that man said he would kill me if I burned this flag." And the police officer said, "Sir, son, there ain't a dang thing we can do about it till he does." So, I like that. I really like that. What some of those people want to realize is that some of us were brainwashed into no believing, and each of us professional killers, Marines, Army, Air Force, that if anybody touches that flag, they're dead meat. You don't shake something like that overnight. "Well, that seems a little severe." Try it, you know. When you have lost friends, very close friends, shedding their blood, protecting that flag, it's not easy to see some punk messing with it. You know, there's such a thing as respecting standards of others. And that standard is a standard that has been with us as long as our people have been a nation. Both on the north, east, south, and west, those standards, those flags, were marked with what the symbol that was upon those flags that stood for that part of the people. And they respected and took pride in that. And they fought for it and they protected it. So never let, even as some might say that, we'll take the Marine Corps as an example, brainwashed us into knowing if someone touches the flag, kill them. Okay? And naturally on a national and international standard. Well, hey, we have the right to go to church of our choice today because those things happen. But at the same time, you don't erase that from somebody's mind. But it should have been there because those standards have been precious even in God's Word. And God approves of those standards regardless of what some organizations, churches even might say. They've always been something that we could take pride in and respect. And unfortunately, if we continue to allow certain liberal instincts to prevail and take away those things from even the school system that teaches young people to respect with dignity the rights of others, then we're in for trouble, and you've seen it already. I really wonder how God blesses this nation, except for the fact that He has some that still see the truth, know the truth, and enforce the truth. And when the snake raises its head, we take a shot at it, right? Until they fear still the truth. And they're very cautious about how their ways intermesh. Unless it's with little children. They really do overtime among little children if they get the opportunity. But thank God for the mature Americans and Christian nations and their citizenry that protect that Christian heritage, that keeps the snake in his hole as best we can. And sooner or later, we're going to do some amputating on the serpent. God's going to do it, and we're going to assist. So, never be afraid nor ashamed to stand up for this nation. She's got some faults, but trust me, there have been some very good men and women that have forfeited their lives so that you can have those rights. I don't call that cheap. It came at an awesome, awesome price. So protect those rights and enjoy them to the fullest, but respect that the standards and the ways. For in God's Word, the ultimate word is, we have the freedom to make up our own mind, to think for ourselves, to be an individual. Not everybody has that right. You do. And those that felt it worthy to pay the price that they could not enjoy it, paid it for you, so that you could take with dignity that pride within it and enjoy those times. So certainly, this is the time of the year that we can think on those things. Open your Bibles to First Peter chapter 2. We're going to talk about nations just a little bit and center from the word what nation actually means. When we say our nation, what are we really talking about? Are we talking about our present nation? And then you have to remember, what does Abraham mean, being translated rather than transliterate? Father of many nations. So we must expand our minds to take in God's children, but not taking away the discipline nor the duty of any one people. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 1, and it reads, concerning nation being the subject we're going for here. Wherefore, laying aside all malice and all guile and hypocrisies and envies and all evil speakings. In other words, keep your mind in neutral and throw out all the junk for a minute, all right? And be ready to listen to the word. Verse 2. As newborn babes desire the sincere, I want to bear down on that, the sincere milk of the word, that ye may grow, that you can do what? That you can grow thereby. It's unadulterated milk is what that word sincere means. Not adulterated with other teachings, traditions of men, bunch of malarkey that gets thrown in on the side. Concentrate and focus on the simplicity that Christ teaches. One of the greatest faults among Christians is to not be able to stand the simplicity in which Christ taught, and they've got to always make some great further thing. And they end up in a maze chasing their own tails because they can't accept the simplicity in which Christ teaches. Therefore, they lose focus and become lost in that maze. That is religiosity. That's my word. Don't try to take it. Okay? And they get all twisted. But oh, so important. Yes, I know. I'm very well informed. They try to make the simple words that Christ gave to love into something that is complicated and a layperson couldn't understand, and they're certainly not intelligent enough to think on the third level, that you can teach and talk on more than one level at the same time if you are gifted. So, always be patient and be sincere. And don't be afraid to take that milk. That's the beginning. And then you grow into a strong Christian that can handle meat. But that doesn't mean you lose the simplicity of the teaching. If you want to anger me quicker than anything, try to cloud the water that an innocent person can't see the bottom with your nonsense. Okay?
Well, I think this is important and we should look at it. What does this word has about 14 meanings, and I think we should make another religion out of it. Oh, well. You know, nuts have done that from the beginning of time. And I'm not taking away from the sincerity of a sincere student. But man, if you can't focus, you're in trouble. You know what we call it? You know what a scholar calls it? A reed is shaken in the wind. That's what Jesus called it. I mean, you can't count on them. So, get rid of that kind of stuff. And stick with the sincerity of the words Christ spoke, not what some man has said, and you will grow. Verse 3, if so be ye have tasted that the Lord is gracious. In other words, that means that He is forgiving, that He is loving, gracious to forgive our shortcomings, because we're going to have them. Have you ever tasted of that? Have you experienced it? It's important, or you might as well stop reading right here and close your ears. But that's important. If you have tasted the touch of the Holy Spirit in your life where you were forgiven and you know it, that's His mercy and His grace upon you, that He paid a price for. Then you can continue. All right, continue to where? Verse 4. To whom coming as unto a living stone, disallowed indeed of men, but chosen of God, and precious. An honor to even know Him and serve Him. That precious. Precious that you can put in your heart and let it stay there and never be ashamed of it. Because living what? What's the opposite of living? Death. Deception. Confusion. But if you can take that sincere, unadulterated truth in the beginning and add to it, it will cause you to grow, whereby you can then understand the things which are still very simple but in more depth. Verse 5. Ye also as lively stones, or you also, talking to you, you're living stones. Well, what does that mean? Well, what are stones used for? To build with. To build what? Are built up a spiritual house and holy priesthood to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable. That's important. Acceptable to God by Jesus Christ. Many people do things that God doesn't accept, and they work real hard at it. Got to prove something. Don't you think that the disciples, the prophets, the apostles knew what they were doing
they laid the message out pretty clear where a child can understand it. Then don't confuse yourself by losing focus. You must be lively, meaning alive. Do you know what happens when you're laying a foundation and you got an old stone here that's dead that you put in the foundation? Do you know what will happen? It's going to crunch and let the whole building fall. Think about that as a leader. Do you put stones like that in your foundation? I don't think so. You have to have stones you can count on that have been tried, that have been tested. Stones that can focus upon the real life, whereby however much weight you might put on them because of the foundation that they are upon, that they rest upon, the Lord Jesus Christ can handle any weight you might bring forth. Tested, tried, worthy. Why? Because they have that spirit within them, accepted by God. Because they understand the simplicity in which our Father teaches. Verse 6. Wherefore, also it is contained in the Scripture. You can count on it. It's in the Old Testament. Behold, I lay in Zion a chief cornerstone. In other words, you've got a chief out there to build to. Elect, precious. That means honorable. Will never let you down. And he that believeth on him shall not be confounded. Have you ever been confounded? I just wish I knew what to do. Well, that's kind of confused, maybe not confounded. Never confused. Verse 7. Unto you, therefore, which believe he is precious, that's a qualification. I mean, you might as well stop reading if you don't believe he is precious. It doesn't apply to you. If you believe he is precious, but unto them which be disobedient, if you don't think he's precious and you're going to be disobedient anyway, the stone which the builders disallowed, the same is made the head of the corner. Now, do you notice that scripture doesn't end with a period? It ends with a comma, meaning you've only got part of the thought. So let's complete it. Comma, verse 8, and a stone of stumbling, and a rock of offense, even to them which stumble at the word. Now, do not read over that, I insist. Stumble at what? The word. Why must people make the word a stumbling block? Awkward. When it flows so sweetly like the river of life that it's supposed to over the buds of your mind. Letting that simplicity absorb you and saturate yourself in it. Whereby you can feel that comfort of knowing he's with you. Okay? So there's a big qualifier there. Well, how can I stumble at the word? By being disciplined in your studies, that's how, and having the faith to believe, continuing. Being disobedient, whereunto also they were appointed. Think about that one. I'm going to read it again. Whereunto also they were appointed. Is that God being unfair? Does that mean that there were some people that were appointed, that Christ would become a stumbling block to them? To what level may we take that thought? Well, I could just give the deeper thinker, a little something to work with here. It states in Romans chapter 11 that some people, God sent the spirit of stupor, slumber on, so they couldn't see. Okay? Were they appointed for that? Well, God's always fair. That doesn't mean they're not going to be taught someday. But some people, it just takes a little bigger boot, okay, to get them jump-started. All right? So,
don't stumble at the word. It's a very serious thing, beloved. I could not emphasize enough at how serious it is. Because quite frankly, the other level of that is as I'm about to state. If you choose to be disobedient, now that doesn't mean I don't intend to. Well, I'm not talking about us that just mess up every once in a while, all right? That we do. That's why he paid the price and we come right back to good standing. But to be disobedient and not even want to believe, he will automatically take your name and put it in the appointment book. And that's the appointment book to stay confused until you can get yourself organized. So don't stumble at, with, over, or around the Word of God. Treat it as though it is the strongest thing in the world, because it is. You won't hurt it. You can maul it over, chew it in your mind, wrestle it around, absorb it, swallow it, and think upon it. You won't hurt the Word of God, but it will please your Father, for it's His Word. And the more you strive, I'm just not too sharp. Well, listen, do you know God can change your mind just like that? And I don't mean by changing your mind from one thought to another. I mean open your spiritual mind up. Some people have a real sharp flesh mind. Boy, I mean thinking ways of this world, clickety-clickety-clack. But their old spiritual mind is so seared over that you couldn't penetrate it with a railroad spike. Who was the little girl that put the spike through the old boy's head? She did, you know. She got it done with her sweet buttermilk. Okay. Different story, different time. It's biblical document. Okay. Wow. Well, anyway, don't be appointed to confusion. Lord only knows it's tough enough in this world. Take the Word and cherish it, realizing that Christ is precious to hold near. And respect that. Verse 9. But ye are a chosen generation. That's if you understand the Word, if you have eyes to see. You are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood. Whoa, did you know you were a priest? Well, if you have enough knowledge to teach, you are. Do you? And if you understand the Word, you're doing pretty good. And holy nation, that's our nation. It has been from day one. A peculiar people. Many people would think we were. Why? We don't stumble at the chief cornerstone, which is to say Christ. Why? Because we understand Christ. We understand the message of old. It doesn't matter whether you accept Christ or not if you are familiar with the Word, for it teaches that deliverer. Okay? That ye should understand what I'm saying now. I don't want any letters on that statement, all right? That ye should show forth the praises of Him who hath called you out of darkness into His marvelous light. 10, which in time past were not a people, but are now the people of God, which have not obtained mercy, but now have obtained mercy. Lo ami and lo ruhami. Ami, my people. Lo ami, not my people. Lo ruhama, not loved, not mercy. Ruhama, my people who are loved. I don't know. When God touches you, and when you share that love, but there, now many people think that also historically we're talking about a nation here, and unfortunately, many people simply chase out one tribe, or run out one tribe on that, Judah. He's only 1/12. There's still 11 other tribes that you've got to deal with that would become as numerous as the stars of heaven and the sands of the sea. And where do you find them? Well, wherever they are. And usually,
by their very life, you can tell them if their spiritual eyes are open, and if they're closed, you probably have a pretty good idea anyway. It is not appointed that all should see light. How is it that Christ could become a stumbling stone?
Well, let's go down to a little church on the corner, and I'm not going to, you know, I never mention a church's name, but let's say that they said, "Do you love Jesus? Are you saved?" "Well, that's all you need, is to be saved." Well, you know, how could that be when my, you know what, I always answer them, I say, "Which Jesus?" What do you mean, which Jesus? Well, there's two of them. Which one are you talking about? "Well, I didn't know there was two of them." Well, you see, then we have a problem here. If you love the Lord, and you don't realize that there are two Lords, so to speak, two morning stars, Lucifer in the Hebrew tongue, if you don't realize that, and if you've studied the Scripture, you know that the false one comes in the sixth trump, or segment of time, and the real one comes in the seventh, meaning what? It means that bad Jesus, so to speak, allow me, is coming first. If you don't know which Jesus you're saved by, you got trouble, okay? There's a stumbling stone there. He becomes that stumbling stone. Because your love for him, your love for religion, could cause you to be deceived if you did not understand the simplicity in which the great prophets, especially Ezekiel, Isaiah, brought forth those truths. Important. But there you have that nation that was foretold of long ago by our father, the nation of Judah. We could even break it down to the house of Judah and the house of Israel, but that suffices for the moment, because they're not joined at this time. But they will be. Praise God. Don't ever talk about any of your brothers. That is envying. It's malice. It's hypocrisy. And you must, if your family is your family, love them, okay? It's important. You don't have to love what they do necessarily, but do love your family. I'm talking about immediate family even. Okay. So there we have that nation that has been from time ever immortal. You see, our nation today is founded on the Holy Scriptures, both the Old and the New Testament. Probably even we could say more so the old than the new. It was founded on, it was written from scholars of it, that gives you the freedoms and the right to continue teaching, studying, and just being free. We're going to talk about freedom now. I'm going to switch to that in just a moment and drop nation necessarily. And kind of a shame in a way that as many people as we have in this generation that are losing respect for our nation and for, I could even say common sense. When we have young people killing and blowing away young people, there's something bad wrong. And naturally, if you drive God out of the school system, that I have always felt that we should teach our children, certainly, and I did so with mine, to respect all religions. That's why you will never hear me knock a religion. Respect each other and fight for anybody's right to believe as they choose. I mean, stand up, say, "Hey, what if they're going to hell?" Well, let them go. It's not your business. That may be just a figment of your mind that they're going to hell. They could be right and you could be wrong. What if, all right? So, I believe that everyone has the right to make his or her own mind up as to what his or her beliefs are and practice them. Be loyal to them, be disciplined within them, and not think they are a stranger just because they believe differently. I talked a little bit this morning to to a person about the Hindu religion. Do you think there are good things about the Hindu religion and bad things? Well, I wouldn't talk about any religion, but there was a lot of good things. Gandhi was he cared about poor people. Well, there's nothing wrong with caring about poor people, right? I wouldn't necessarily make a religion out of it, but be that as it may, do you understand where I'm coming from? Respect people's right to believe as they do. That's what our Constitution is about. Many people will say, well, there's separation of church and state, Buster. Haven't you ever heard of that? Oh, have I ever. When our forefathers came here, there was only one church they could serve under. It was oppression. That is to say, some of my forefathers ran out of spuds and had a different reason for leaving, but be that as it may, the big potato famine. But anyway, separation of church and state means that our government cannot tell us how we're going to believe or what we're going to teach in this church. God has already done that. That is the MAX. That's what it stands for. The government cannot tell a church, regardless of what it is or what its belief is, why we have freedom of religion in this nation. And it is so valuable. And friend, if God gives you freedom of religion, don't try to take somebody else's away from them within your own society. Well, I don't appreciate it. Well, I don't care whether you appreciate it or not. Leave them alone. There's been a lot of bloodshed that guarantees them the right to believe as they choose to believe. So who are you? Well, it just doesn't stack up in my book. Well, burn your book then, because God's book doesn't say that, all right? You can at least be tolerant and be a little mature and appreciate life and people through your Father. Now, if you think for one moment, I'm telling you, that you should allow other teachings other than you truly feel to come into your mind, you just aren't up to speed, friend. I admire and respect people that will not sway, but your own mind, not somebody else's. And never attend a church where you're not allowed to ask questions. Otherwise, if you do, you're in a cult. You will believe what we teach and nothing else. And don't open your mouth, just absorb it. Okay. Well, if you ever get in a deal like that, regardless of how they put it, you're in a cult. And always be a free person, because you live in a free nation. And God's Word will set you free. So don't you let some man put handcuffs on you. Okay, so let's let that cover the nation, and let's go to freedoms for a moment by going to the book of Galatians. Galatians chapter 2. I really want to just take a little scissors and cut out two or three verses here for our thought about freedoms, okay? Paul had a great deal of trouble with the brethren. Some were really strict, orthodox-type people, and some, you know, they were moderates and so forth, and he had a great deal of problems with that. And that is fine. If somebody wants to be orthodox, that's fine. Let them be. Don't try to take that away from them if they deem it precious. Think and worship the way you want to worship, but don't let them at the same time change you unless you feel it would be a betterment. Got it? Okay. Galatians chapter 2, verse 4. In that because of false brethren unawares brought in. Now, these are really devious fellows in the Greek. The English really doesn't get it. I mean, they were brought in to spy, who came in privily to spy out our liberty, which we have in Christ Jesus. Where do we have it? In Christ
Jesus, that they might bring us into bondage. You know,
well, don't you know that our church does not allow that?
You know, that's bondage, friend. You, when somebody says that, you better do a quick double think. Does God's Word say it? I don't care what some church says. You know, I really don't.
And it, quite frankly, the church is run from heaven anyway. Man doesn't have a right to say whether you can join or not. I'll never forget a little fellow drove here from Denver, Colorado one time, and he talked and quizzed me for 2 hours, and finally, I'm ready to join. What do I do? And I said, well, I don't know. I said, you got to take that up with the Father, and if He accepts you, hey, we're going to accept you. You're good enough for us. And he blanched. He'd never heard that before because he'd been in a group that was pretty domineering when it come to regulating people, and it just floored him that he was a free soul, free to think, free to act in his freedoms. That's what liberty is your freedom. Never, never let religion take over your freedoms. Because true, I don't even like the word religion, quite frankly, but true religion, I'll use it, never puts in bondage. Just the opposite. It sets you free. Okay? Verse 5. To whom we gave place by subjection. Now think of Paul saying this. Paul says, you might as well read, do you think we gave place to this subjection? Answer, no. Not for an hour. In modern English, not for a second. That the truth of the gospel might continue with you. We didn't put up with it for Zippo. 6. But of these who seem to be somewhat, well, they were very eloquent. Their speech, as far as the position of an orator, was excellent. Very eloquent. Whatsoever they were. He said, I don't know, you figure it out. Whatever they were, eloquent, or great speakers, or leaders, or preachers, super preachers, it maketh no matter to me, God accepteth no man's person. Anytime you get on a high horse, you might think about this verse. God accepteth no man's person, for they who seem to be somewhat in conference added nothing to me. Why? He stuck with the Word. Paul was one of the greatest Hebrew scholars that Paul studied under one of the greatest Hebrew scholars, thus he was a great Hebrew scholar himself. Gamaliel, right at his feet. He could quote more scripture than most people. He was sharp. Okay, good. And what he's saying is, they, without of all that extra stuff they stuck in to sound like they were somewhat, he said, they didn't add anything to it. Why? If anything, they tried to pull away from the simplicity in which God's Word is written. And that's what you must always bring yourself to. You know, the more one learns, sometimes the more they kind of think they are somewhat. But God's Word has been with us a long, long time, and it doesn't matter how much of it you absorb, it creates in your life a very good atmosphere and makes you a very fortunate person, but you have no excuse or reason to think you are somewhat because of it, because it is your Father that gave it to us. Right? He wanted us to have it. So it doesn't make you somewhat. In other words, put you on an ego trip. But Pastor, you don't understand. I'm special. Well, good. I mean, I suppose everybody should feel special about something. You know, I'm still looking for my niche. I guess it would be flying. I am a fantastic pilot. Okay, I've had a pilot's license before I had a driver's license.
and I love, dearly love flying. And am I fantastic? Well, I do it. Okay, I get there, and I love it. But everybody should, I mean, God is not a respecter of persons, but He loves people that absorb His Word. It's a good thing for you to never forget that. All gifts come from God, and God is very generous and liberal with giving those freedoms. What does God's Word do for you then? It certainly does not put you in bondage, right? Do you know what some of those bondages are? All you divorced people get up and move to the back of the bus right now. Now that's hypocrisy and a lie. Okay? Absolutely a lie. That's bondage. Pure out and out bondage. Nowhere is it written that divorce is the unforgivable sin. And if you love Christ, you had better know that if He forgives something, it doesn't exist. It's as though it never happened. And if you don't believe that, you are absolutely not a believer. You're a fake. God loves His children. It's a pretty good idea for you to love them too. And forgiving is the greatest thing that Christianity has. But it's probably the least practiced thing in Christianity. Hey, like it or lump it, I've been around a few years, I've observed, and that's just the way it is. Okay? And thank God for you that do. They seem like somewhat, but they didn't add one thing. You know when I'm talking about freedom that I'm going to John, St. John chapter 8. Couldn't pass it up. Seems like I'm making a few side trips today. Why? I do not know, but oh well. Freedom is the subject, and beloved, from God's Word we have that freedom. And Christ was teaching here, and verse 31 of chapter 8, St. John. Then said Jesus to those Jews which believed upon Him. They did what? There's a qualification there. Absorb it. They believed on Him. If ye continue in My Word, then are ye My disciples indeed. Disciple simply means one disciplined in the teaching and a student. All right? 32. And ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. And that is a very true statement. God's Word from Genesis 1:1 to the very end. You learn the truth, and it will set you free unless you allow man to put you in bondage. Use the analogy of the divorcee I just mentioned, or many other reasons. There's, you know, you have Puritans. And I don't like what some people do. I really don't, you know, with our habits and everything. But I still love them. I'm not going to turn them down because they have maybe what I would consider a filthy habit. I know if they're studying God's Word, they're trying to deal with it and try as all man can do. I probably got some habits that's worse than theirs if the truth were but known. And this is not confession time. So, you understand where I'm coming from? You know, it's be careful. The truth, the real truth, you understand when you absorb it, God loves you. You're His child. He, as it is written, He created you for His enjoyment, His pleasure. So He created everything for His pleasure. Documentation, 4th chapter, Revelation, last verse, and as well as many places in the Old Testament. The question you've heard me ask many times, then, have you pleasured Him recently? Okay, if you don't pleasure Him, He's not going to give you any blessings, that's for sure. 33. They answered Him, "We be Abraham's seed, and were never in bondage to any man. How sayest thou, ye shall be made free?" And Jesus answered them, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, whosoever committeth sin is the servant of sin." In other words, this is not somebody that drinks too much Pepsi-Cola in the afternoon.
that's bad for their health. We're talking here about an habitual sinner, and if you are an habitual sinner, you become a slave to it. That's what he's talking about. Instead of God, you're a slave to that sin, habit. 35. And the servant, a slave, abideth not in the house forever, but the son abideth ever. In other words, you become a slave to it. Well, you can't serve God in that too. He won't fly, okay? If the son therefore, 36, if the son therefore shall make you free, you shall be free indeed. 37, I know that you are Abraham's seed, but you seek to kill me because my word hath no place in you. Now, number one, you're going to find out here, and I must say on our brother Judah's behalf, these are not called Jews because they are of our brother Judah, but only because they are residents of the land of Judea, because he will declare here in a moment that they are Kenites, because they are of their children the devil. Not because they're sinners, but actual Kenite is a Hebrew word that means sons of Cain, all right? And they're with us, but absolutely not our brother Judah, okay? Verse 38, I speak that which I have seen with my father. Ye do that which you have seen with your father. Their father in lower case, take note. They answered and said unto him, Abraham is our father. And Jesus said unto them, if you were Abraham's children, you would do the works of Abraham. But now you seek to kill me, a man that hath told you the truth, which I have heard of God. This did not Abraham. And then he goes on to say, you do the deeds of your father who was the first murderer. Tell me this, who was the first murderer? That's a Bible question, tough one. The first murderer, of course, was Cain, which means Kenite. Now, our brother Judah gets a lot of flack from that chapter, and it's real sad. Because people that used to, if they would just stop and think for themselves just a moment, they would know better. But truth, always, wisdom, knowledge, which is to say God's Word, always frees you rather than to captivate you. And any time you find yourself making a study that makes you a prisoner or captures your thought or attempts to control your thought, not allow you to question, you want to really wake up. That's not God's Word. God's Word truly indeed sets you free. Why? It's wisdom. Just common sense. That if you know, if you have this letter of prophecies, and as far as I know, there has been, in my lifetime, there have been so much of these prophecies come to pass, that if a person was really in the know, it makes them an excellent stock market player. Why? Because you know what's going to happen tomorrow. Now, I'm not advising that you do that to make money. I'm just saying, hey, you can't help being successful if you really know the truth and you're set free. Okay, enough on that. So, freedom and freedom of truth, the written word, the word, don't stumble at it. Okay? Now, real quickly to 1 Corinthians, I'm going to wind this up here. We've covered so many subjects along with freedom and our nation. I still want to hang into freedom just a moment. 1 Corinthians chapter 7, this tells you how to get along with the little woman if you're going to make a long trip, and what creates a marriage and so forth, be that as it may. 1 Corinthians chapter 7, verse 20, let every man abide in the same calling wherein he was called. God gives you certain gifts. Don't try to step outside of those. And you know what the word gift is in the Greek. It's charisma. If you can tell, your charisma just burst forth. You can see it. That thing that you are gifted in. And somebody else sitting right beside you has a totally different gift, charisma. Stick with what you've got or you'll fall on your face. 21. Art thou called being a servant? Care not for it. But if thou mayest be made free, use it rather. In other words, to serve God,
you don't have to be free-born, necessarily. You can be a servant, a slave, so to speak. Now, this is something we don't have to worry about anymore a great deal, except for the fact that many people are in bondage and servants, slaves, because of usury. And that's sad. It is really sad that wise people allow themselves to get caught up in usury. And, you know, my old granddad raised me, and he had one saying, and that was about it. He had two sayings, one that pertains to this subject. If you can't afford it, you don't need it. It's not a matter of doing without. It's a matter of using judgment. Well, hey, that's a different subject again. I just really seem to get off on those. 22. For he that is called in the Lord, being a servant, is the Lord's free man. In other words, even in serving God, if you're a man's slave, you're still the Lord's free man. Likewise also, he that is called being free is Christ's servant. That's just the way it is. You're free to do what you want to, but it's here, beloved. You must think free. You must know that you are free. Do you know why I can tell you you're free? Because I happen to be one of the dudes that paid the price with blood. And who am I? Nobody. There's thousands and thousands of others. So don't scuttle it. Don't blow it. Enjoy it. Your freedom. Our nation. And all nations. You know, Abraham means in the Hebrew tongue, father of many nations. And God's word is to all nations. Verse 17, James chapter 1 reads, every good gift and every perfect gift is from above. Don't ever forget it. Well, you don't understand, brother. I worked for that and I arranged that. Oh, did you? You think God doesn't bless? And cometh down from the Father of lights, truth, with whom is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. In other words, a sundial does what? The sun changes. God doesn't. Your Father, that's why when you read the Old Testament, you just be perfectly comfortable, other than and know the difference between ordinances and statutes, because some have been fulfilled. But he stays the same. Not like the sundial. He isn't moving around all the time. 18. Of his own will begat he us with the word of truth. That's why truth should be important to you. That we should be a kind of first fruits of his creatures. Kind of a new creation. One that has overcome in God Almighty. Right? One that he can trust. Wherefore, my beloved brethren, let every man be swift to hear. To hear what? What's the subject? God's word. Be quick to hear God's word, yet slow to speak, slow to wrath. That is to say, in man's anger. Righteous indignation? Hey, okay. Man's anger? Uh-uh. That won't get you anywhere. All right? Be careful with it, is what I'm saying. 20. For the wrath of man worketh not the righteousness of God. Why? Wrath or anger is a form of insanity. All right? So, enough said. 21. Wherefore, lay apart all filthiness and superfluity of naughtiness, and receive with meekness the engrafted word which is able to save your souls. What are you going to receive? Did it say the word? Uh-uh. It said the engrafted word. That's different. That's important. It's something you let sink into your mind and settle there. 22. But be ye doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. You can do that. I'm going to tell you something. You know, probably there are very few people in this whole world that could deceive you, with the exception of one. Do you know who that is? Do you know who is the person that can deceive you easier than anyone else? Yourself. Because you're a good old boy. You know, good old girl. Deceive yourself so quick. So think about it, all right? 23. We're easy on ourselves, all right? For if any be a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like unto a man beholding his natural face in a glass, all right? What happens when you walk up to a mirror in the morning and look in? You see yourself. Okay? You take a good look at yourself, okay? But verse 24, for he beholdeth himself and goeth his way and straightway forgetteth what manner of man he was. In other words, when you walk out of the front of that mirror, what happens? The picture fades. Why? You're not there anymore, all right? So it fades away. You forget in your mind what you look like in that mirror. Necessarily, some of us just like to, all right, as quick as we can. But 24, for he beholdeth himself and goeth his way and straightway forgetteth. All right, 25. But whoso looketh into the perfect law of liberty, think on those words, the perfect law of liberty, and continueth therein, he being not a forgetful hearer, these are qualifications, but a doer of the work, this man shall be blessed in his deed. In other words, face the law of liberty and don't walk away as though you walked away from the mirror. Stay with it. Look into it. Don't give up your liberties. For God's law, as cruel as some might think it is the best advice we can receive. And if you never, thus it is a law of liberty. And if you don't, you know, you are to rightly divide the Word of God when you study it. What book were we reading? James. Do you know who it's written to? Those scattered abroad. Meaning scattered who? The tribes. So the law is very important to them, and it is that law of liberty. So enjoy, relish your liberties. Do you know something? You can walk out that door and you can take off for California or Dallas. Some of you will. You don't need a passport. You're not going to run through any border guards. And, well, I'm going to tell you what, though, they are looking for drunk drivers pretty heavy today. So I'm sorry. You may hit a roadblock or two, but as long as you're smiling, wonderful self, you haven't got anything to worry about. It's your freedom. And quite frankly, I'll use that for just one second. It is our freedom that has purchased the right for those patrolmen to be there to keep a bunch of drunks off the road so they don't kill your kids. That's free. That's freedom. So I love you. Why? Because you enjoy studying our Father's Word in more depth. This is an awesome time when we try to look at our history, our heritage, and look at our ancestors. And those, do you realize that most servicemen that die are only anywhere from 18, 19, below 25? Kids. But what a bunch of kids. Man, I tell you what. Awesome. They can get it done. Bravery untold. I could tell stories all day, and I'm not going to. I don't talk about things like that. But you have the right to enjoy those things they bought for you. And they bought it with their love. So don't forget them, please. And take advantage of our freedoms. Won't you do that, Father? We thank you for the privilege of being free to serve you. And serving you whether we were free or not. Father, bless this congregation everywhere. Touch